But the Australian economy is facing labour shortages across a range of sectors, not just hospitality, IT, advertising, healthcare. There's even a shortage of department store Santas. By some estimates, the labour shortage could increase the wages employers are forced to offer skilled workers by as much as 20% in high-skilled areas. The Australia Chamber of Commerce and Industry is pushing for an increase in skilled migration of 200,000 people a year. But the newly created National Skills Commission says retraining offers better long-term solutions. Adam Boynton is the National Skills Commissioner. Adam Boynton, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thank you.
I heard there hospitality is facing a workforce shortage right now of around 100,000 people. IT needs around 60,000 people a year. Infrastructure Australia is warning of a workforce shortage of 100,000 by 2023. How will we fill these gaps? Who will fill these gaps?
Well, I think the first thing I'd say is this is actually probably a good problem to have. If I think about the alternative, that is very high levels of unemployment and skill surpluses, I think looking at an economy where we do have opportunities reflected in some of these skill shortages to grow and expand is really quite positive. I do think that the point, though, that you've made is absolutely valid. There are skill shortages across a range of sectors. Our own research into 800 different occupations identified shortages in around 19% of occupations. And we do know, particularly in hospitality, around two-thirds of employers are finding it difficult to recruit staff.
It's a good problem to have until it becomes a roadblock and a productivity hump, which is, you know, fast happening in the hospitality sector. We've all heard of restaurants who can only open 4 days a week because they can't get the staff, for instance. Business groups, the New South Wales Treasury, others are calling for a turbocharging of migration of at least 200,000 extra people a year. Is that what we need to do to meet this skill shortage?
I think the past 18 months have demonstrated the importance of migration to the Australian labour market. And again, if I think back to the hospitality sector, again, our data would support the comments that a lot of those people made, namely that hospitality, accommodation and food services has generally relied more on migrants, temporary workers, temporary visitors and the like than other sectors. So migration is absolutely part of the solution. And it's a matter of doing that as quickly and as safely as we can when borders reopen. Part of our role is to assess where the skill shortages are to help inform those decisions around migration.
Okay, in terms of where the skill shortages are, let's just go to that for a moment because I think your research has found that the top five advertised positions at the moment are general clerks, sales assistants, software and application programmers, registered nurses and advertising and sales managers. Apart from the nursing and the IT sector, most of those positions require not so much highly technical skills, but soft skills. Why can't we fill these positions?
Well, those numbers you quoted are vacancies. I think if we're looking at skill shortages in particular, where we find them as being most pronounced are in these technicians and trade workers occupations groups. So these are things like electricians, carpenters, chefs, and the like. So these are occupations generally requiring a vet qualification, mm-hmm. certificate 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And some of these, particularly in the trades areas, we've seen shortages exist in the past.
We've had that shortages.
Now, I think there's a series of things there, and one of those is actually also to remind young people and those people sitting their HSCs today that vet pathways into some of these occupations in shortage, particularly the ones with strong future demand, are really quite rewarding careers and quite rewarding jobs.
Of course. I'll come back to that in a moment, but just in terms of the where the gaps are, I understand that healthcare and social assistance is still the biggest recruiting area right now and will continue to be for the next few years. So again, that's those soft skills, healthcare, social assistance. They're not the high tech nor the high paid jobs by and large, are they?
So that's quite true. Our 5-year employment projections, I think, have healthcare and social assistance growing. That's the industry growing the most. And then if I look at some of the occupations within that, aged and disabled carers, registered nurses, very strong growth we're looking for. In fact, aged and disabled carers is the occupation we think will grow the most over the next 5 years, followed by registered nurses. And then to come back to some of the comments some of the things we were discussing earlier, software and application programmers, the occupation we think will grow the third fastest.
So it brings us back to training. You talked about the vet system. The government brought in the job trainer program. It's heavily subscribed but undersubscribed, as I understand it. That's for a training program for 17 to 24-year-olds and unemployed people. As of September, there'd been 271,000 total enrolments from 463,000 available places. So as it stands right now, there's still a lot of room for people to move into training under the job trainer scheme. Is that right?
So I think those there is still scope there. What I'd say about that is I think it's really encouraging. We've had that many people come through the job trainer program. Part of our role is to help ensure that the qualifications and the courses people are doing under job trainer do match to areas of demand in the labour market.
And do they? Is that happening?
Yeah, so I think what we're seeing in Job Trainer in particular is really high take-up amongst a lot of those caring-related qualifications, particularly things like the Cert 3 and individual support. Those qualifications are directly relevant to the healthcare sector that I think we've both noted is going to see very strong growth in employment over coming years, and some of those occupations we do identify as being in shortage right now.
Okay, but not so much the high-tech, the high-skilled, or the you know, carpentry and those sorts of skills, not so much of those under job trainer?
So we are seeing, I think, increases in apprenticeships as a result of other programs. But I think this is going to be an exercise that'll take us some time to work through, because if I look at where we were just prior to the Delta outbreak, you had a record number of people in employment as a share of the population. We had a very low unemployment rate. So I think it's also fair to say we are bumping up against the ability of the Australian economy to supply enough workers.
Okay, and yet we still have critical skills gaps. We have they're very acute right now, but they have been critical in some areas for some years. We've been covering this a lot here on Breakfast over the years. The Chief Executive Officer of Virgin Australia, Jane Hrdlicka, has this week proposed giving 1.6 million workers who are already in the country on temporary visas Australian citizenship. Is that a good idea?
I think that's probably a question that's a little outside the remit of a skills commissioner. What I would say, though, is it's fair to say that I think as we start to recover even more from the impact of the Delta outbreaks, we'll see the unemployment rate start to fall over the coming months. We'll probably see a lot of people come back into the labour force. And I think one thing the last 18 months has taught us is the importance of migration as part of a suite of tools that help us deal with skill shortages and labour shortages that a lot of employers are seeing.
Okay, but as the National Skills Commissioner, are you recommending to government, state and federal a greater investment in vocational training?
So as the National Skills Commissioner, I think investment in vocational education and training, but also communicating to young people some of the really, really strong career prospects that vocational education and training can provide you is really quite critical. It's about changing some of the conversation away from just a focus on university. We know that 9 out of 10 jobs that will be created over the next 5 years will require some form of post-secondary education, and vocational education and training is an important pathway for a lot of those jobs.
What about wages? Is there good news coming on wages? The head of Australian Economics at ANZ, David Plank, says Australian workers can expect a wage increase of 3% because of the skill shortage. Now, we've had skill shortages, we've had pretty low unemployment by past standards, and yet wage rises have been, well, tepid at best for the last 6 years or more. Is that changing?
So I think as employers respond to skill shortages or labour shortages, is there a range of different things they might look at? Part of that is how do I make a job more attractive to an employee? Now, that might be a working from home policy. It might be a wage rise. I think in that package earlier that led into this conversation, there was some discussion around that. I think we'll see employers responding in a range of different ways as they think about how they do business and how they attract employees. That is, of course, part of the solution.
All right, just finally, kids around the country are sitting their HSC at the moment. Some of them already have their early uni offers. Others are still trying to work out what they'll do. You're the National Skills Commissioner. What would you be advising them? What's your message to the kids? What sort of careers should they be looking at?
So the first thing I'd say is think about what you're actually engaged in, what you enjoy, what you're good at. That's really important. I don't think we should ever lose sight of that. But then the second thing I'd say is there's a range of possibilities and opportunities out there. If I was to sum them up in four words, I'd say care, computing or digital, communication and cognitive. That is, those creative type things that is really difficult for machines to do. But the other thing
like
I'd say
what?
Is...
Like what would that, what's an example of that?
So something like a lot of the professions, things that can't, cognitive, so higher-level skills, high-level thinking skills, mm-hmm. those sorts of jobs that change from day to day that aren't routine. So I think that's particularly in the IT space, not so much it's that design, that thinking, that evolution of product and technology. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I'd say is... the labour market, I think, is going to be pretty good for people that are doing their HSC this year, and I certainly don't want to add to stresses of people doing HSCs. I think there's a lot of opportunity out there. The most important thing is post-secondary education is going to be the key to your future career.
Post-secondary education is the key. It's often the hardest decision a kid can make, though, to work out where to go. So care, computing, communication and cognitive. Kids, that's directly from the National Skills Commissioner. Adam Boynton, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Adam Boynton.